You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi, everybody. You're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill, with my good buddy, the Golden Boy, 365 Days of Horror, Jordan. How's it going, Jordan?
Fuck the Patriots.
I feel overwhelmed sometimes just by the sheer concentrated misery in the world. You know, and it feels like sometimes it's more than my heart can take. Just seeing so many bad things happen to so many good people in the world. But then something like this happens and it totally changes my entire perspective. Thank God, your boy put down a fat bet on the underdogs yesterday and it paid off nice. It paid off real nice, and the best part was seeing Barstool Sports' Dave Portnoy fucking crying on Twitter.
Sometimes when God closes a door, he also opens a window. And yeah, Australia's on fire. Yeah, we might be going to war with Iran, but at least the Patriots lost.
You got to take your wins when you get them, because you don't know when the next one's coming, if it's coming. And I'm calling this a victory.
It's a huge victory. Oh, it's so nice just to like go outside today and see New Englanders even more miserable than usual.
Big ups to Tennessee, man. Like, big ups to Tennessee for basically crushing their dreams in the last seconds and a wonderful pick six. It's just lovely, lovely stuff.
So I was looking this up, and for those of you that don't watch the game or don't like sports, Tennessee was killing the clock, taking penalties on purpose, like knowingly delaying game and this and that, so it would eat up time on the clock. The Patriots did that earlier this year against the Jets when they were beating them like 33-0 in some meaningless game. So I love that it came back to bite them in the ass in the worst possible way.
It was so satisfying. I really enjoy that. You know, probably one of the best football players of all time, you know, Tom Brady, who's given 20 years of incredible athleticism to New England. Every fucking Tommy, Phil, and Sully across the Eastern Seaboard is just like, this fucking bum, get him out of town.
It's times like this where I miss Deadspin.
I was telling my wife the same thing. Like, oh my God, we were watching the earlier games and there was, it was called back, unfortunately. There was a fat guy touchdown. You know that Deadspin always posted the fat guy touchdown. So,
fuck. So now the question is, what happens with Tom Brady? People are saying he's probably going to play one more year or he may retire. I'm hoping he, like, still tries to hang on for like 10 more years and just gets passed from shitty team to shitty team. Like, I hope he ends up in the XFL for like the Tampa Bay Vipers, just playing shit games and no one caring about him anymore, getting fatter and fatter. That's the dream.
I'm kind of predicting a Brett Favre move where like he's going from Minnesota to the Jets and then ending his career in an embarrassing dick pic situation.
I hope he ends up in Cincinnati. That's what he deserves.
He definitely does. So yeah, free agent starting this next year. Have at him, boys. Anyway, it's your metal podcast.
We have to get the real talk out of the way, and then we give people the "this band sucks, this band's Nazis" talk that they crave.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, people that listen to this show don't even listen for the metal. They just want to hear us bullshit, so it's fine. I mentioned I was going to go see it on the Christmas episode, but I haven't brought it up since then. But oh, have you seen Uncut Gems yet?
I have not.
Oh my God. Everybody go see that shit. Holy Lord. In a year that had some incredible movies, I think that one snuck in, the very end of the wire, as one of the very best of the year. And it has given me just this itch to sports gamble like no other.
So is this a secret CIA movie made to get people complacent and have them gambling like what's his name, that director you like, Bootsy Collins.
Boots Riley.
Yeah, he tried to say that The Irishman was some anti-union propaganda movie.
Look, I really like Boots Riley, both just like his weird personality and the music he did with The Coup, and especially his first movie, Sorry to Bother You. He said that he's got several movies coming up soon, and I can't wait to watch them all. He is prone to perhaps paranoia about some things that maybe aren't necessary. Case in point, The Irishman. Did you watch it yet?
I did. I sat through all of it.
I made 4 batches of soap while watching it because it was such a long movie. I did not get any anti-union vibes from it, and I feel like I would be kind of attuned to that, but I didn't see it. Maybe I'm just not in it to win it. I don't know.
I mean, any anti-union stuff that was in the movie was based on fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that like the mafia had their dirty little fingers in the Teamsters, and they were doing some fucked up shit, you know. And that's how Las Vegas came about.
And that's where we are today. Come to Las Vegas.
Yeah,
bring your family.
Fucking worst city in the entire nation, man. But yeah, no, I don't think that's the case. I think that the guys that the Safdies that made Uncut Gems, they're just weird prep school kids that that do a lot of drugs. Really, I don't think there's anything deeper to it than that.
Is there any other kind of prep school kid?
Yeah, you got the other
Nazis.
Yeah, you got Nazis. If you have to have a prep school kid around, you want the one that's like into having fun and doing cool drugs, not the one that's like, well, actually, we're the Ubermensch.
Doing peyote and jumping off their Aspen getaway roof into a pool.
Yeah, those are the kind of guys you want around. Like, granted, you're going to have to eliminate them in the final class war or whatever, but in the meantime, they're fine.
You may have to help them dump a body or two, but they're good guys.
It was an accident, okay? Yeah, on the other end, you've got, like, Stephen Miller, whom, you know, is still searching for a chin donor.
That guy is, like, the same age as us and looks like he's 50.
That blew my mind. Several of those alt-right guys, they're around our same age, like fucking A. What's the guy that he's the meme, like prove me wrong guy? It's not Dave Rubin, is it?
I think it's I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck that guy. Anyway, we're the exact same age, and that guy looks like he's been hit by a fucking truck.
I guess evil just, you know, rots your body from the inside out.
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to hold on to that anyway. I'm still holding on mostly to, no, I'm getting uglier every day. It's fine.
I'm not getting uglier. You're getting uglier.
We're all getting uglier. That's the way of the world. I got a thing that I'm actually getting up to next weekend. That's I'm pretty excited about. I haven't thought about it until today, even though I bought tickets for it like 9 months ago. But now that I remember that it's happening, I'm pretty excited about it.
Isn't that the best when you buy tickets for something and it's so far in advance you forget about it and just have to constantly remind yourself, like, oh yeah, 6 months from now I'm doing something fun. I just have to wait.
Yeah, I mean, we just bought a novelty calendar with a large naked fat man on every page. So we were filling in the dates. I'm like, ah, there's a thing coming up. Evil Beat Volume 2, going to Dallas next weekend. If you're there, holler at me, and we will have a good time. This is Power Trip's second year putting on this festival, and the lineup, gotta say, not bad. Not bad. This is being put on for charity, for Dallas Hope Charities. Which is like helping homeless people, marginalized people within the DFW, giving them food and places to stay and stuff like that. Those kinds of necessary things that are good, which is good. I like doing that kind of shit. I like giving money for good causes like that. And the bonus is I get to see a bunch of great bands. In addition to Power Trip, you know, that band that I kind of like, band that we've had on this show before. We got a couple of other good ones. We got Carcass. You ever heard of those guys?
Yeah, they're that band that plays that song. Yes, I've heard of Carcass. I own some albums. I've seen them live. You will enjoy them. Have you ever seen them?
No, I had tickets to see them at a festival a couple of years ago when they were playing in the woods outside of town here. But I had to leave at the last minute to get out of town to go do a different thing, and I regret it. I gave my friend my tickets, and he sent me all these videos like, this is the best fucking show I've ever seen in my life.
Of course.
Thanks so much, man. He did give me the Baroness set list from that show, though, which was nice of him. I framed that and put it in the house. But in addition to that, we also got Violence. Sans, the worst member of Violence.
But then you lose that on the chance of saying, like, from this day! From this day! Come on, Rob!
I guess I could heckle the other guys. I wouldn't do that. They seem nice enough. And then we got Razor, which Ooh, is a real nice. Fucking blast from the past. I want to get one of their shirts because they're, man, their cover art was so good.
This sounds like a metal cred show.
It kind of is, man. But if you want to like completely throw a wrench in the a spanner into the works, rather, next up you got Death Heaven.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting seeing the people there for Razor, if they're going to give Death Heaven the time of day or just walk out and, you know, drink shitty beer.
I got a picture of myself with George Clark when Power Trip played a last minute show in Austin years ago. He was just there to like watch Power Trip. That dude, he likes the band. So
nice. Know.
Good stuff. Sheer Mag, I'm not really familiar with those guys. I hear them mentioned all the time. Do you know them?
No, I'm thinking of the hardcore band Sheer Terror, so I don't really know them.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what it is, but you know, this whole lineup's good. I'm gonna catch it all. Drab Majesty, have you heard those guys?
I know the name.
Yeah, it's like similar to Valra, I would say.
Okay,
kind of like electronic kind of shit.
A little dad goth.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's Prurient, and that's when I'll go outside and take an extended smoke break.
Gotta stretch the legs, yeah, you know, yeah. Maybe look at merch a little longer than you normally would, pick up a CD, pretend to look at the back, and then put it down.
Listen to Silence for a little while, just enjoy that. Warthog, for the hardcore kids. Torch, also, I've never got a chance to see Torch, and I'm excited to see that. Did you listen to the latest Torch record, the one that came out this year?
You sent me a couple of songs, and it sounded a lot different than what they used to sound like, or what I remember them sounding like.
It really does. It's just like swinging for the fences for, you know, big, kind of like stadium rock and roll. The way I've thought about it the entire time is like, if the Foo Fighters gave a shit.
See, but they don't have to give a shit. That's the thing. Maybe that's what Torch is doing wrong. Maybe they shouldn't give a shit anymore and just get nice haircuts and do that sort of thing, and it'll all fall into place finally.
Yeah, you finally get your HBO series where you talk about how you need a specific mixing console to rock and roll.
Hey, you got the money. You're allowed to do stupid things like that.
I guess so. And then there's a few other bands, Wiccans, and Red Death, True Widow. And then we're getting to the names I don't know. Special Interests, Mil Spec, Dress Code, and DJ Painkiller Kim.
Is there also going to be like the special guests and TBA and other like goofy high school band names? Because that's what it sounds like it's devolving into.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I mean, like, this
free
is
free beer is playing.
Everybody gets laid. yeah, perhaps, but you know, pretty good for their second local festival, you know.
Yeah, I saw them tweet out that they also asked King Diamond and Rancid to play, and while I appreciate them swinging for the fences, as you said, maybe give it another year or two.
Maybe. I gotta say, King Diamond makes a lot more sense than Rancid.
Oh, yeah, members from King Diamond's band live in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. And doesn't the king himself live in like Fort Worth as well?
I don't know, actually. At least part time, probably.
Yeah, I think he splits his time.
Of all the places to live for a king.
I mean, fuck. We don't know what he does in his spare time. He could just have like an F-350 and like spend all of his time ranching.
Just King Diamond going down to AutoZone to getting some oil for his like leaf blower.
Yeah, it's possible. We really gotta get him on the show. We'll find out if he's living the suburban Dallas life or not.
If we ever get King Diamond on the show, I want an hour of us not talking about music with him. Just his day-to-day life, because that's far more interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this guy's been interviewed a million times. I don't give a shit about, what are your future... No one gives a shit. Like, what's the best burger place in Dallas?
Does Satan like Whataburger?
I assume it pleases Satan, yes. Have you ever had
Tendies for his Dark Lord?
Have you ever had Whataburger?
You gave me their ketchup and barbecue sauce for the holidays like 2 years ago, but no.
Did I give you the spicy ketchup or the normal ketchup?
Spicy.
Good. Okay.
Because I'm a spicy boy.
Yeah, I would feel mortified if I discovered that I sent you the weak shit.
Thanks for the ketchup, I guess. you sent me the spicy and the honey barbecue, I believe, sauce.
Good. I know that there's a number of Twirlateers that are going to be going down to Dallas next weekend for that. So I'm excited to see some folks and listen to some music.
You going to big time them?
Probably.
Hey, Joe, I'm Steve Dave from the Discus. It's nice to meet you. Hey.
And anybody that's ever come up and talked to me at a show, I will talk to them. And it's occurred to me later, oh, this is somebody that follows me online. They weren't just talking to talk.
They know everything about me and they have so many things to say.
And I'm just dumb. I'm this guy seems friendly. I don't even realize that they would have known anything about the Toil of Hell or anything like that. It's kind of fun. Have you ever had that occasion?
I've met a few people from the website, and some of our fellow writers and stuff have come to see my band play. So that's always neat and pleasant. And I think everyone's always shocked when they meet me and how short I am.
Wait, you're 5'7", right?
Sure. like 5'5" and change.
What weight class were you boxing in?
Welter.
Welter. Okay. That makes sense then.
Stocky Balboa.
Stocky, is that what you called
him? Nah, I didn't, just short dude in a decent weight class. That's what it is.
How do you do against those longer reaches?
You take punishment until you can get in close and then clobber them.
Yeah.
Longer reaches don't hurt as much too, because by the time an arm gets to you, it usually has to be more fully extended and there's less power behind it.
I fought a string bean guy once, and just he was, his punches didn't hurt, but he could throw a million of them. So by eventually getting to round three, I was I'm giving up. This is too much.
Well, that's why you don't see lots of knockouts in flyweights and straw weights, because they can throw for days, but there's not a lot of power behind them.
Yeah, whenever I do get the opportunity to watch boxing, I like watching the super early early fights, which is just 100-pound Mexican guys just unleashing 1,000 punches per round. I forgot where we're going with this show. It's not the boxing show, but fuck.
So no, wait, I can transition this. I can do this.
Okay.
Speaking of throwing punches,
okay, there we go.
Glenn Danzig is putting out a new movie.
First round knockout.
Northside Kings are undefeated. So Danzig has a new movie coming out after his first movie, Erotica, so well.
But Erotica's not out yet, right?
It's not. It was originally produced by Cleopatra Records, who, if like, you know, industrial and goth music and that sort of thing, Cleopatra's like one of the biggest ones, and they've been around for like 30 years. They put out Verotica and originally said that it was going to be video on demand on Halloween night in 2019.
Yeah, I've been glued to my TV trying to watch fucking Verotica.
It just quietly didn't come out, and if you try to go to Cleopatra's website, it's awfully put together. So there's a section that has like video on demand and like nothing pops up yet. So I don't know when that movie's coming out. I was able to find on Amazon that it's being advertised as coming out on DVD at the end of February. So we'll see.
But I want it now.
I mean, you know, we're watching that and reviewing that as soon as it's available for us to watch it.
Oh, absolutely. We'll dip into the Patreon stash. We'll buy it for everybody.
So, yeah, apparently Danzig just, his creative juices are still flowing, which is really gross now that they said that. But he has a new movie coming out that they're working on now called Death Rider in the House of Vampires.
Uh-huh. So the other one's like an erotic horror thing. What is this one?
This one, Danzig has been saying it's like a spaghetti western, which, again, huh.
So it's going to be like big money rustlers.
I think he's saying it's like a sequel to Verotica, but Verotica is based on comic books. And this second movie is not based on the comic book. So I don't really know how that works other than saying it's a spiritual successor.
Okay. All right. I guess. Is this one also going to feature full penetration?
I mean, it can. Danzig is an actor in this, so who knows what's going to happen. The IMDb page is up for this movie, and a couple of actors have been listed on it along with their characters, if you'd permit me to just run through real quick.
Please.
Devin Sawa is Death Rider.
Okay, so that guy was in Casper, right?
I know that name. Was he a child actor?
I think that was the voice for Casper, or at least the real child at the very end. And let's go ahead.
Oh, you'll recognize this guy if you look him up. He was in like a bunch of movies in the 90s. Final Destination, Idle Hands, like you said, Casper. He has been around for a long time.
He was also in Punk's Dead, SLC Punk 2, a movie that I did not know existed.
He was in the original SLC Punk 2. He was the guy who ran through a field, like a football field, being chased by a security guard, and the sprinklers turn on, and he has acid tabs in his pocket, and then gets all messed up.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
So, yeah, he's the lead in a Danzig movie now, apparently.
Huh. All right.
We have Danny Trejo as Bella Letigo.
Yeah, I recognize him from doing all those commercials.
Julian Sands as Count Holiday, which makes me think of Val Kilmer dressed up as the Count from Sesame Street.
Has Julian Sands been in anything else?
I'll look it up. Julian Sands, IMDb. Well, he does have a 90p page. That's good.
Yeah.
A Room with a View, Naked Lunch.
I've seen both of those.
He's a real actor of some sorts. How about that? And a bunch of other stuff.
I don't remember what character he was in Naked Lunch. Good movie, by the way. Everybody should watch that.
There are two things wrong with that title. We have Kim Director playing Carmilla Joe.
Kim Director?
Yeah, how can you be an actor if your last name is Director?
Yeah, they couldn't get Bill Actor.
The names get better. We have Kansas Bowling as Ryder's dead sister.
All right. Well, that seems like a spoiler.
Kansas Bowling. We have Victor DiMattia as Kid Vlad, which sounds delightful.
He's a young boxer.
Then he became Ugly Vlad and Presentable Vlad and finally Kid Mo. We have Ashley Wisdom as Mina Bell.
Huh.
We have Yulia Klass with a K as Mercarla May, and Glenn Danzig, who is acting in this movie. Would you like to know his character's name?
Please.
Bad Bathory.
Get the fuck out of here. Bad Bathory? Was me Bad Mayhem taken?
Bathory. Angry Dark Throne.
Cross Candlemass.
Stab Immortal.
Alright, I can't wait to see this movie, but I gotta get to Veronica first, man. I need to know.
I mean, you don't want to be lost. You don't start with the second movie. You got to start from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. So this movie is expected in 2020, right?
Yeah, I think it's actually it's actually finished. I'm looking at a decent sized quote here, and if you want to get into the mind of Glenn Danzig, I'll read it out for you. We just finished my vampire spaghetti western. Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's much different, of course, than Veronica, because there's no comic book to follow. So, we had pretty free reign in the movie. All the characters have a traditional vampire name.
Yeah,
Bad Bathory, traditional vampire.
Yeah, because that's well-known Eastern European vampire.
And a traditional Western name. A lot of guest cameos in it. Some friends of mine came in and did some cameos in the movie. It's, again, based on the European cinema. A spaghetti Western is basically... The Italians loved American Westerns so much, they started doing their own Westerns. And they got Clint Eastwood and Henry Fonda and a bunch of other actors, Charles Bronson, to come over and do these wild Italian Westerns. And we eventually started calling them spaghetti Westerns. In mine, everybody's a vampire. So you don't have to wait around to see the vampire. Everybody's a vampire. You don't have to wait around to see blood. You're going to see lots of blood. It's pretty crazy.
Couple of thoughts here. Number one, it's weird to think that Danzig has friends. It seems like he's done a pretty good job of alienating most people from his life.
Well-wishers, compatriots, associates, paid assistants.
No, number two, like, I know that there's a proud tradition of the spaghetti Western. Of course, I've seen, like, For a Few Dollars More and all those Sergio Leone movies and all that. It still seems like an offensive name, spaghetti Western, you know. Could have gone with, like, WAP Western. Dago Western.
Garlic bread Western, jeez.
These fucking greaseball Westerns.
Hey, I'm shooting over here. Cowpoke.
Do we have any idea what this movie might be rated?
It has to be an R. There's no possible way that it's PG. It's going to be R, perhaps even NC-17.
Mother, don't you take your children to see my movie. It's got adult themes and full penetration.
If this movie doesn't have a scene of Glenn Danzig smiling with vampire teeth, eating a bowl of spaghetti, wearing a cowboy hat, saying, "Mother, that's a spicy meatball," it is a failure. It is a failure if that does not happen.
I hope so hard for that. This all sounds delightful, and my only concern here is that this will be released into the ether where I'll never get to see it, like Veronica.
It'll find its way to the internet. Like, it has to. There's no way people won't find it. I just hope we get a chance to see it before, like, there's a review on BuzzFeed or Vox or wherever, where people get to fawn over how funny the review is when, you know, we do the best job.
It's true. I'm just imagining this being viewed by a couple of people and like, well, into the vault with this, same place that we put like The Day the Clown Cried.
See, but even that came out too.
Is that actually out now?
A couple years ago, it made its way to the internet somehow, and it's a movie about a clown in the Holocaust. So, you know, a lot of people haven't talked about it since.
Yeah, the idea of that movie is much more interesting to me than actually watching it. I don't think I want to see Jerry Lewis making clowny jokes during the Holocaust.
And, like, the same kind of thing happened to a wrestling match in WWF. There was a guy coming up named Tom McGee who was like going to be the next Hulk Hogan, and he had a match with Bret Hart where like it was a really good match for this new guy, and then the match disappeared. People couldn't find it for years. It was always rumored about. It's on WWE's network now. You can see it whenever you want, and it's just a wrestling match, but it's just kind of that built up mythology, same with The Day the Clown Cried, and maybe with Veronica at some point.
What was the deal with the wrestling match? Like, what were people speculating about it?
Just, it had been rumored about, like, I think after the match, Vince McMahon said, like, there's my new champion. And the guy just wasn't a particularly good wrestler and had, like, never really had another good match since. But the match wasn't, like, for TV. There was no commentary. It was just taped.
So just like a house show?
Yeah, and the tape just kind of floated around for years, and like people had like said they'd seen it, but like didn't have a copy of it, and it was just one of those like collector's items, but for one wrestling match.
My uncle works at WWF, and he's seen it, and this guy, he launched a fireball from his hands at Bret Hart.
And that's going to be the same thing with Veronica if we don't do something.
I agree. We got to take a crowbar, free Veronica. That's what I'm saying. Free Veronica.
Break into Danzig's Double Wide and steal the tape.
We know for a fact he doesn't live in a double wide. We've seen all the pictures of his house on Google on Google Maps.
We've seen his motherfucking bricks.
well, that's good for, it's good. It's good to see senior citizens staying active, you know?
Perhaps Danzig can try jazzercising instead.
I would like to see that as well. That can be the end of the trilogy. After Veronica and Death Rider and the House of Vampires, it's just an hour of Danzig sweating to the oldies.
I mean, do we get a third movie after this one, too? Like, do we get a trilogy?
Surely, right? I mean,
who's paying for this? Is Danzig paying for all of this?
Okay, now that's a really interesting question.
He's listed as executive producer, so entirely possible.
So Veronica has reviews on IMDb. So people out there have seen it. And this is pissing me off now.
Someone gave this, what is this, 10 stars?
Let's see.
Come on.
Yeah, it's got an average rating of 6.2 out of 10. This will be pleasing to your ears. Veronica, it's only an hour and a half.
As all movies should be.
Man, I can't wait to watch this shit. All right, and it looks like some of the cast, there's some carryover from Veronica to the Spaghetti Western. So, I figure there's probably a trilogy in the works. What do you think that's going to be about?
Zombie, strippers in medieval times.
Now that could actually be kind of interesting. I was all prepared to hate it, but then I remembered that Army of Darkness exists, and I think that, you know, that's kind of a rich vein that you could mine out of there.
But for some reason, there's modern music in it.
Yeah, modern is in like Danzig's fucking Elvis covers.
It's like I started watching Peaky Blinders this week, and there's like the Raconteurs and Nick Cave playing. It's like, it's 1900s England where people are fighting over whiskey and horse races. Why is there shitty troubadour music playing?
I watched the first episode of Peaky Blinders and quickly realized this was not for me. Number one, I couldn't understand what anybody was saying, which is fine.
I watch with captions on.
Yeah, I should have done that. I didn't do it for some reason. And number two is I got the distinct sense that this is Sons of Anarchy for chavs.
Yeah, I could see that without the motorcycles.
Yeah, just basically like fodder so, you know, people can create tough guy memes for Facebook. Like back in my day, gangsters dressed like gentlemen or some shit like that. Just whatever fedora wearing bullshit you need when you're not posting Joker memes.
Back when men were men.
Yeah, exactly that kind of thing. Not good. Not good. I got my my buddy's HBO login this weekend. So, you know, the first thing that I did, of course, was started a 10-year-old series.
Boardwalk Empire?
Tremé. Tremé. Did you see that one?
I don't even know what that is.
It's the feller that did The Wire, but it's about post-Katrina New Orleans. And I'm only like 4 or 5 episodes in, so, you know, I don't want to... I don't want to lead anybody astray, but if you're looking for a hot tip on a 10-year-old series, it's pretty good. I like it a lot.
Well, enjoy that before you watch The Sopranos for the 10th time like I would.
I watched all of The Sopranos in like one sitting in college, and I don't think I can do it again. Like, get my bones atrophied.
Did you say atrophied?
Atrophied.
Atrophied.
Whatever.
A trophy.
They got a trophy.
It's the knockoff of Treyu Band.
You know, back in my generation, not everybody got a trophy. Just making new Sopranos memes.
You got to watch it for when the movie comes out.
There's going to be a Sopranos movie?
They're doing a prequel movie with James Gandolfini's kid playing Tony Soprano.
Fuck that.
Fuck. You gotta make money somehow.
This is so unnecessary. Shit, I'm trying to remember. Did you ever see... fucking A. It was one of James Gandolfini's last movies. He did it with Brad Pitt. It was about...
Once Upon a Time in Mexico?
No.
Or The Mexican.
No. I didn't realize they did two movies together. It was about just like right after the financial crash, like basically some shitty gangsters trying to make enough money to eat. Holy shit. That they did do the Mexican. Is Killing Them Softly.
Oh, it wasn't that like critically panned.
Maybe. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I think for a Brad Pitt movie it didn't do well.
That movie is ripe for those memes as well. it's another like tough guy mafia movie that, you know, fat suburbanites love, which I guess I am now.
yes, join us. We'll go to Lowe's on the weekend and not buy anything.
I'm a Home
Depot. We'll look at barbecues.
I'm a Home Depot man, and I love going to look at things and also to steal things.
It's surprising that you'd be Home Depot, considering the guy who owns it is like hardcore Trumpite.
I don't think that the Lowe's guy is any better. It's like,
I think he's probably slightly better.
Really? I don't know. It's like your options for chain pizza in this country are all fucked up, too. Like the Domino's guys are like insane trad Catholics that give all their money to conversion therapy causes.
Own weird town in Florida.
Yeah, Papa John is you know, just a junkie for pizza and racism. And yeah, I'm sure there's some fucked up shit with Pizza Hut too, but you know, whatever. I haven't done my research for this episode, sue me.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like how people are talking about Coachella now, that the lineup was announced and Rage Against the Machine are headlining. It's like,
yeah, man,
an interesting dichotomy, if you will.
I get it in some ways, and then in other ways, I just completely don't. You know, people in bands, they don't own the means of production or anything like that. They're artists. They got to make money how they can. But this seems so fucked. Like, Coachella of all places, you know. Yeah. Like, granted, all of the major festivals, I'm sure, have some fucked up skeletons in a closet or whatever. You know, C3, the company that does ACL and Voodoo Fests and Lollapalooza, that, you know, they conspired to basically put out of business smaller festivals within those respective cities. But Coachella.
Coachella is the biggest one. And I think that they're thinking on this, other than getting a nice fat payday, is that we're going to be playing in front of such a big audience that we'll be able to, like, reach them and bring them to our side and change their minds, and not remembering that it's like $600 for tickets and it's all in front of, like, Instagrammers and trust funders.
Yeah, you're speaking directly to your class enemy if you were still in the class that you were at the beginning of your career, which you exited many years ago. It's, you know, it's just all rich children, high as shit on cool drugs, like wearing Indian headdresses.
Wearing sunglasses that are more than what we make in a year.
Yeah, yeah. The only ethical way to go to Coachella is to go specifically to rob these kids.
That would be cool if they just bus in a bunch of people from one of the cities and just let them loose in the crowd while they play, while, like, people light things on fire like Woodstock 99. Then I'm into it.
Rory, the guy from Party World Wrestling, he shared a video with me that I guess I had missed from a long time ago. Michael Moore's old show, in which he had Rage Against the Machine in a trailer, and a bunch of kids, you know, moshing, and they were trying to get all of the Republican primary candidates to get in and mosh with them, and only one guy did it.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's trying to, like, realizing all we know now, like, normalizing, like, humanizing these fucking lizard people, like, probably not a great idea.
Probably not, but it's good for a couple of laughs.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I think it's pretty disappointing, to be honest with you. Granted, you know, I haven't listened to Rage in a number of years. That was very influential on a very young, very impressionable Joe, you know? And, you know, all these years later, like, I listen to something like that, or I listen to Propaganda or Leftover Crack, I'm like, these guys were right all along. I'm supposed to be getting, you know, shittier as I get older, but I'm like, no, I think that their politics were right, but you know, giving up your any kind of high ground that you had in here in this conversation to play the homophobe fest for rich kids, it sucks.
And also, Code Orange is playing too, which is another interesting choice for them.
Code Orange, I think I have less beef with them doing it because they're very earlier in their career and working their asses off just trying to get more well known and try to, you know, fucking pay the bills. I have less contempt for them doing it because I know that they're not millionaires.
yeah, and they didn't build themselves up for decades at this point raging against the machine.
Fair point.
You know, and I know we've had Code Orange on the show, and as you said, the guy has, like, a chip on his shoulder, and they kind of have this aggression, and they're wanting to prove themselves, and Coachella is an interesting choice to do that, unless it's just, you know, hey, it's a payday, and we're playing in front of the most people we will ever play in front of.
I think that's valid, you know? Like, for a young, heavy band, that's a tough gig to get. Might as well. I mean, and they're not, like, they didn't build their brand on being hyper anti-capital or anything like that, you know? It's just like,
yeah, their brand is to be kind of weird.
Yeah, they're just like weird, spooky kids playing heavy music, you know? That's okay.
I'm curious if they'll soon move out of the heavy stuff after this.
It's possible. Their direction has kind of moved a little bit more into like industrial territory, like early Manson type stuff, you know. Which makes sense because that's kind of like coming around. It's been coming around with the kids. You know, Billie Eilish's whole aesthetic is like, you know, Marilyn Manson circa 1994.
Clown clothes.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're due for an industrial comeback anyway,
yeah,
musically.
Yeah.
And maybe work-wise.
Ministry is not allowed to participate this time around.
But I think it's been a long enough time that we haven't really had anything like that, and a lot of these bands are still kind of around and touring, your Cyclone Nines and your Combi Christs, and I think with the way music and technology have kind of like mushed together in these past few years, it's a lot easier to kind of easier and more acceptable to kind of make that kind of music. Like we see EDM has just blown up over the past couple of years. I think that, but heavier and, you know, more leather and, you know, big titty goth GFs.
Yeah, that's really what it's all about. But as you say that happens, of course, everything ramps up on itself, as it always does, you know. So if you have EDM that's, you know, hugely popular, you have to have the reaction to EDM being hugely popular, which is you make darker and heavier EDM, right? And it's only a matter of time before Gabber hits again.
Well, we got to get in on the trend. Crotch Monster's got to put out some industrial soon.
I went to a metal show. It's a bar that no longer exists here in town. It was right next to these the goth club that still does exist in town because you know that's the way of the world. So as I was like standing outside having a cigarette, I was just getting the biggest kick out of seeing the people going in, waiting in line to see. God, it wasn't Combi Christ. It was like, I want to say it was like Suicide Squad, but that was obviously not the name. Something about
Suicide Commando.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you had all of these people in line dressed as like Cyrax from Mortal Kombat 3. Just like huge dreadlocks, like chest plates, like gas masks. It was fun. It was fun to look at.
Well, I think that it's also closely connected with fetish nights, which are definitely still a thing in every major and minor city in the world. So it's really it still exists. It didn't go away. It's just not in the forefront. It's not like nu metal, for example, which like went away, or metalcore, which kind of went away and then, you know, stayed where it is in its like 40th incarnation now. I think just industrial's been there, just kind of been in the background.
It's always there for you, bro. Well, there
with tape on your nipples.
Well, you know, at times when you looked back and you saw only one set of footprints in the sand.
Industrial Jesus was carrying.
Exactly.
Saying, you want some E?
Yeah. It's pure, bro, I promise. But like metalcore, you saw a thing where maybe metalcore ain't dead, bro. Maybe it's back in its original formulation.
Well, now that all the 25-year-old metalcore guys have grown up, gone into the workforce, got married, had kids, they found that shit to be boring. So now it's coming back. It's coming back at Furnace Fest, which is in Birmingham, Alabama, of all places, in September. You are getting Code 7, Caven, Converge, Glass Eater, Norma Jean, Unearth, who never went away for some reason, 68, August Burns Red, Beloved, Boy Sets Fire, Evergreen Terrace, Further Seems Forever, Haste, Hopes Fall, Living Sacrifice, Misery Signals, Shy Halud, The Beautiful Mistake, With Honor, and Zao so far. That is 2004, 2005 in a nutshell.
Was Piebald unavailable?
God. I never liked them, but I have a funny memory of them in that, like, my local radio station was playing one of their songs while, like, me and my dad were driving, and we were just kind of listening for a second, and he said, I can't repeat what he said, but it was like, "This is bad, isn't it?" And I went, "Yes," and turned it off.
I'm going to call up your dad and ask him what he really said.
He said, "Jordan, I do not like this. We shall turn it off now."
Yeah, no, Piebald is probably one of the worst bands of that entire era.
And it was the song where it was like, "Yeah, you're part of it. Just shut up."
Now I'm just getting a flood of memories from terrible mix CDs that people would make from each other. Finch.
Finch Thursday.
Yeah. I never liked Thursday, man. I could never understand why they were as ubiquitous as they were for so long.
They were a local band for me, and I saw them in high school. Very first opening band. Would you like to know the headliner?
Please.
Catch 22.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you ever wanted to see ska kids listening to Thursday, that was a show for that, because people were not kind to them, myself included.
I can't imagine just like all the ska kids like, "This sucks. Where's the trombone?"
Just what a weird band to have open for your ska punk show.
Well, Birmingham, Alabama. This is weird to me, man. But I gotta say, having done the years ago doing the best metal band in each state, Alabama was one of the worst. It wasn't the worst. I think that would probably go to Mississippi, or South
Dakota. Which is Alabama's neighbor.
South Dakota was also abysmal, but Mississippi and Alabama, I think that they're in the very, very bottom rungs of the states.
But and they're at the top when it comes to morbid obesity and poor education,
hate crimes.
But they do get metalcore. I don't know if this is like a leftover, this is where the Christian metalcore people live now, or it's just real cheap to put on a show there and a lot of these bands just want to play once again. This is it. I'm curious if – I think this is going to do well. Like, I think people are going to travel for this just because there's so many of those bands that haven't been around, and now they're reforming for this one show. Like, I mean, when was the last time people talked about Haste or Further Seems Forever?
I don't know when the last time the words "Further Seems Forever" left my mouth, but they were probably like, "I don't want to fucking go see Further Seems Forever."
same. But and like, there's talk of Poison the Well or kind of getting back together and doing some shows.
I think
Snapcase has gotten back together and doing some shows. I think there's talk of From Autumn to Ashes are getting back together. So I wonder if this is kind of like the big revival, is where it all starts in Birmingham of all places.
Bombingham, as they called it back in the day. Interesting. I'm just imagining like all of these bands getting together at like Muscle Shoals to put out new records.
Struggling mightily to fit their gut into their tight girl pants. Honey, where's my white belt? It's under the Asper cream.
Yeah. That'll be the trend to look for in 2020. White belt grind, white belt emo, coming back in a big way. Just a bigger belt this time around.
You know what? Emo Dad might be at this show.
If he's still alive.
Alive. If he's not, there will be other ones.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're real emo dads now, not like the dad that was like trying to get into whatever his kids' friends were into that he was clearly trying to fuck.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, emo dad was a pederast. That's why he was that way.
Many people are saying.
Parody.
But yeah, this is a festival that if this was by me, I would probably go to just to see like a handful of these bands either that I used to like, you know one or two songs, or just see bands I never got the chance to see, like Hope's Fall or Misery Signals. Why not?
See, Living Sacrifice is playing this one too. Wasn't that the Christian one?
Yes, they were one of the earlier and better known Christian metalcore bands before like Christian metalcore really became a thing, like your Under Oaths and that sort of stuff.
Yep, we gotta go.
We might be able to get press passes.
I'm sure so we can.
The interview further seems forever.
All right, everybody. If I don't see you next weekend in Dallas for Power Trips Festival, buddy, you know where to find me September 18th through the 20th, and that is, of course, at the Sloss Furnaces in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll be there. What else you
early want? Early bird 3-day general admission tickets are already sold out, by the way.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, all these kids now own credit cards, so it's no big deal.
I guess that's true. $200 for the pass. I guess that's fine. I guess it's okay. There are worse purchases you can make for your $200.
There's going to be so many blown out backs and like pulled hamstrings at this show.
Oh my god. Yeah. Some great fat guy pits.
If you want to make money, dress up like an EMT, go to the show, cart people out when they get hurt, and then rob them.
I like our new thing is just robbing people at festivals.
Fuck them. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's be legends. Is there anything else you want to tack on to this episode, brother?
You ready for 2020? We're here.
I'm filled with dread. Why not?
It's been a week.
My big goal for 2020 is to finish all my prerequisites so I can transfer to nursing school. Do you have a big goal for this year?
Not big goals. I've had little like doable ones. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Eat fish when I get the chance more, that sort of thing. And over the past few days, I've actually had a big boost in one of my goals, and that is to mute annoying and stupid people on Twitter. And this past week has really helped out with that.
What are some accounts that really give you the hives?
You know, it's mostly like blue checkmark nobodies.
Yeah, no, I hate those people so much.
And like their bios are like journalist. I write for at the floppy dong at the, like things you've never heard of. And it's like, who the fuck are you? How the fuck did you get a checkmark? Why the fuck are 10,000 people following you? A lot of it is that. It's just like, I don't want to see this anymore. And Twitter has the ability to show me what everyone has liked and retweeted. So all these people pop up whenever anything political happens. And it's just like, I can't deal with this anymore. Mute, mute, mute. So that's been a thing for me to help my mental health this year, including the names of a lot of the Democratic nominees. I read the news. I read news websites, I get what's going on. I don't need to know every time someone says something, every time there's a stupid video one of the candidates put out. I don't want to see something from 30 years ago that someone said. I just can't.
I probably should just get off Twitter this year. I think that's probably...
Taking off from social media is extremely important, and all of us are guilty of staying on it too long.
Yeah, it's not helping me any. I'm too anxious and angry to even be funny on there anymore. So like, following me gets no benefit to anybody else. So yeah, I think I just gotta step back and focus on bringing the funnies to this show and doing my schoolwork and I guess doing my job.
I guess if there's time, I don't know. But yeah, I think it's important to step away from that sort of stuff, or at least limit yourself to it. Like it's 10 o'clock, it's time to stop.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to look at it until lunchtime at work or something like that, because I think we all get to that point where we start to get mad at the people that we like, even though they're not doing anything wrong. Just like, God damn, Joe, I get it. You like Bernie Sanders. Fuck. And you didn't do anything wrong.
I do love my Bingo Sandy. By that same token, my DMs are always open. So if anybody wants to chat, feel free. I feel like person to person is probably better than me yelling at the void. So
we're picking fights with random conservatives.
I gotta stop doing that. I just gotta stop doing it.
it's bad for your blood pressure.
It is.
I understand the desire to want to dunk on them, but you're not gonna get anywhere. And it's just like when your car gets stuck in the mud and you try to floor it and it's just spinning mud and your car is weaving but not getting out. That's what that is.
Yeah. All right.
Well, and then everyone's muddy.
Yeah. This is the year of spending less time on Twitter, going to more protests, more rallies, doing more volunteer work. Every time I get mad, I'll just, you know, donate to a charity or a good cause or something like that. I'm going to be more useful, less angry.
There you go. I think donating money is a good way to do it because you're doing something. You're not just stewing in your own juices, being mad at home.
Yep. And if anybody wants to join me in Austin tomorrow, you won't hear this because the show goes up on Wednesday, but there's a big anti-war protest. We'll see you there.
Do you have a good rally song in your head going on or a chant that you want to do?
I fear that we're going to recycle the same shit that we were doing at rallies in the lead up to the Iraq war, and I don't, it bums me out.
I think you got to take a page out of the movie PCU and give a little, hey, hey, ho, ho, this penis party's got to go.
Love it. And I think I'm going to go watch PCU. Good movie.
Oh, and maybe you could hold up a sign. Need 2 tickets for Furnace Fest. Will mosh for ticks.
All right. Check on your friend Gutter, everybody. He needs help. And we'll see you next week. We love you.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.